The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I got up this morning and I thought to myself, I said, and I mentioned this at the end of the show yesterday, I said, I spent 3 hours yesterday trying to make sense out of something that can't be made sense out of. I spent 3 hours yesterday giving people the history of blackouts. And I was talking about how a power grid works and the three major grids and doing all of those talk show things. And I realized, I got home last night, I said, what was I doing? I was wasting 3 hours of your time and mine because we finally, toward the end of the show, hit the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is, whether you know about grids or not, you don't know about grids, whether you know about blackouts, you don't. The fact of the matter is they're continuing to stick it to us, baby, up the giggy with a wah-wah brush. Now, we're going to be taking calls for the next hour, 1-800-449-8686. They're still selling us the same bill of goods, and we're still buying it. They charge us more money than God himself for electrical power, and it is completely unreliable. And when they get their trucks out there and they fix the power line that the tree fell on, and we get our juice back in 3 hours, we're supposed to just drop to our knees and be ever so grateful. And hey, this summer, we've only had 3 blackouts. Why, last summer, it blacked out around here, other than the fact that I blacked out every time I walk out of the ABC Liquor Lounge, only about 6 times. My wife only blacked out 4, and I only blacked out 2. But one of those times that we blacked out, I'm pretty sure we made love, but I'm not, you know, I can't be certain. So, folks, listen to me. Well, you don't have to listen to me, but I'm just going to say it anyway. This is a bill of goods. Can you guys at the power company, what do you think? We woke up yesterday, man, and fell off the freaking truck? You guys are the blood-suckingest, thievingest highway robbers that the world has ever known. I'm talking to you, Southern California Edison, and you, Con Edison, and the rest of you power companies that love to have those little ads. You know, they send you the little thing in the bill, you know, what we're doing for you, people to people. What you're doing for me? What you're doing for me, baby, is sticking it to me, not even greasing up the freaking plunger handle. You're just going right ahead. You thieving robbers. You thieves. Stealing my money, and then you have the gall, and I got a call from a guy yesterday, says, well, you know, the Public Utility Commission's there to blame. You see, it's really easy to blame government because most of us are not in government. In fact, government represents a very small percentage of the people that are employed in this country. As much as some of our friends would like you to think that the federal government is just like billions and billions of people, it's still a small percentage. So it's easy to attack a minority of workers and say it's all their fault. I'll tell you whose fault it is. If you want to attack a minority of workers, I'm attacking the utility companies. The utility companies that make more money than God himself has ever seen. The utility companies that are packing it away day in, day out, week in, week out, by the millions and billions. And we're spending more money than we ever have for power, and we still don't have a reliable power source. We're looking at 19 million people yesterday without power. And by the way, God bless the great people of New York. They came through once again, prove what great people they are. As a matter of fact, this is a hell of a country. The headlines around the world were chaos in America. You know what? They would love to see us just go right down the crapper, wouldn't they? They would love to see us go down the crapper. Every last backstabbing one of them, the frogs, even some of the Brits, all the Europeans, all the Asians, they just love it when we have a problem, man. They look at it and they look at America. Ooh, there's chaos. Ooh, they're having a problem. Ooh, there wasn't any chaos. There was no chaos. We just sucked it up like we usually do, picked up our briefcases and walked home. I had my friend Peter called yesterday. He was on the air. 8 people in a rental car, in the rental car office. How many of you guys go into Jersey? 8 people say, well, we are. So they all got together like civilized human beings. They rented a van together, and they all, you know, total strangers, but they all needed to get home. And they got in the van, and they picked up some guy who had a pretzel and hot dog business, and he gave them pretzels and hot dogs if they give him a ride across the bridge, and they did that. I mean, this is the way we work. This is the way decent, civilized people work, and once again, we came through. Because that's America. There wasn't any chaos, China and Japan and the rest of you ragheads that would just love to see us go down the crapper at a minute's notice. No, sorry, baby, we're here, we're going to be sticking around for a while. Guess you're going to have to pull another 9/11 or something. I don't know what it's going to take, but whatever it takes, you ain't got. America in chaos, huh? Let me tell you who is in chaos. If you read the newspapers, the government up in Canada, they couldn't find their ass with both hands yesterday. They didn't know where the premier of Ontario was. They didn't know where the prime minister was. They didn't know where the mayor of Toronto was. Meanwhile, the people of Toronto are pulling it together. They're doing a great job. The people are getting out. They're helping to direct traffic, acting like civilized human beings. Just the rank and file of us, you know, just pulling it together. But the head of the government, the guys that are calling the shots, maybe a guy could get in front of a microphone and say, hey, everything's going to be okay. Now they can't find those guys. They're just, where are they? We don't know. They're at the gym. One of them, what with the prime minister was at home. What was he, pike fishing or something? What is this anyway? Is this a joke? You guys think this is some kind of a joke, don't you? We're spending nothing but, you know, our hard-earned dollars on energy, and every summer it's another brownout and a blackout, and, well, we're just going to have to cut down our use. We're not cutting back on any use anymore. You got that? You guys are either going to have to find a way to provide the energy, or we're going to get somebody who can. Because I'm going to go home tonight, I'm going to blast my freaking air conditioner, and don't you start telling me about how there isn't enough power, and there's an overload on the lines. Start making this thing work. Start making the infrastructure of the power delivery system of this country work, and quit giving us excuses, and if you start jacking the rates again, Jim, I'm going to turn that air on. It'll never turn off. I'll be running my air conditioning until the day I die, which I figure going at this rate is another year. Who do you guys think you're dealing with anyway? You think we're just complete and utter idiots? I know we look like it half the time, and we probably act like it three quarters of the time, but every now and again we pull it together just long enough to take a look and take a deep, dark breath of the roses. And I got news for you. You are thieving our money, man. At least this guy's woken up. At least Phil Hendry's got his eyes wide open today. Yesterday, I couldn't believe myself.
Well, and here's a history of blackouts. And also, and I'm going, what are you, a schmuck? What are you doing? History of blackouts? It's called the history of sticking it to the American people, the American energy consumer. Stick it in and break it off, baby. It's 1965 they went through this. 1965. This isn't a natural disaster. This isn't a hurricane, a tornado, a typhoon, a tsunami. This is power that the human race found a way to conduct and conduit. And we still haven't got a handle on this. Over 100 years later, they're charging us so much money that some people can't afford to heat their homes. They can't afford to light their homes. That's how much money it costs. Every summer, somebody dying from the heat. Every winter, somebody dying from the cold. Richest freaking country in the world, and we are so utterly stupid, we can't figure out how to deliver a reliable a flow of energy. Either we're stupid, or the energy companies are the thievingest, most despicable criminals you've ever seen in your life. I'm betting on the latter. I think these guys are blood-sucking, money-grubbing thieves. Thieves. You heard me right. Thieves. What are you going to do, Southern California Edison? Cut my power off? I got news for you, baby. Every summer, it happens about four times a summer anyway. Might as well just go ahead and hit it again. You need some more money? Is that it? Why don't you hike my rates? That way you'll have more money, and then you can, you know, phony baloney up some other thing. You can say, well, now we have enough money to, well, there's one thing we forgot. We need more money for this. We need more money for that. We got to recoup our costs. You got to recoup your cost. Are you trying to tell me that some old lady just croaked because she doesn't have any air conditioning because you got to recoup your cost, you murdering, thieving bastards? I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care whether you go broke. I don't care if you guys never crawl another pole again in your lives. Some guy can't afford electricity, or somebody, you know, there's a blackout or a brownout, some old lady croaks. Some kid croaks because it's too hot, and you want to know why? Because they haven't recouped their costs on their expenditures. And so therefore, if you look in column B, I got your column B, and I'm greasing it up right now. See, like I said, nobody listens to me, and that's fine. You don't have to listen to me. I'm just a big mouth on the radio. You can turn it on, turn it off, do whatever you want to do. But you heard it here first. You heard it here first. You are getting absolutely robbed blind, and you're being lied to when they tell you that, you know, the Public Utility Commission is a this and a that and something else. They are being manipulated by the energy companies themselves. Are you kidding? This is like, this is how the world works 101. The energy companies themselves have got a gun to your ribs, and they will continue to keep the gun at your ribs until you haven't got a nickel left, until there is nothing left. Nothing. And even then they'll say, the grid up north took a lightning strike. Can you believe that, man? The most powerful nation in the world, a lightning strike knocks our power grid. Or then it wasn't a lightning strike. Then it was a fire. Then it wasn't a lightning fire. And then it was in the northeast. Then it was in Pennsylvania. And this morning it was in Ohio. Who knows, man? It may be like in Japan or something. Or maybe Osama's doing it. Hey, maybe Saddam's pulling the switch over there. And then, lightning? What are you kidding me? So, like, a little kid went in there with a... Remember when we were kids, we used to put nickels on the train track to see if you could derail a train? Maybe some kid went in there with a penny and knocked 19 million people off the air. What do you think? Probably happened, huh? Maybe we need to spend more money every month so we can further solidify and secure the infrastructure. So that some chipmunk doesn't go in there, go to sleep on a high-tension wire, cook himself and 8 million other chipmunks and the rest of the human race along with it. What, you got some old guy in a switch with a Casey Jones hat going, hey, pal, we need some juice. Oh, sorry about that. Forgot to throw the switch here. 6 o'clock. Is that what you got? Some guy sitting in there smoking his pipe, reading some Tom Sawyer. Who knows? Biggest non-weather air travel disruption since 9/11. The biggest blackout in history. In history. It's the 21st century, and we got an electrical delivery system that might as well be strictly from hunger. Yeah, sure, we can suck it up. Yeah, we can take it. We can walk home. We don't need trains. We can sleep in the office. Yeah, we're human beings. We're tough. We can do it. But hey, you know what? We don't have to, and we shouldn't have to. So why don't you jackasses that run the power companies either get with it or quit? Because either way, you guys are out. You're on your way out, man. If it's up to me, which of course it ain't, you're out. Look at this, Nation in Flames. Is that us? 1-800-449-8686, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We've got some websites we're going to announce that are now running fair and balanced on their homepage, which I love. As you know, Fox thinks they own that. Well, guess what? They don't. We got it on our homepage, and a few other people do. We will mention their websites. We have our R.C. Collins letter, our mailbag, and some other stuff. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And of course, the Iraqis are weighing in now. Oh, the Americans don't have any juice, huh? Well, maybe what they ought to do is sleep on the roof like we do, huh? So you got it real tough. Well, we don't have any electricity either, you lousy Americans. I hope your power outage goes on for 20 years. That's what one of them said. See, that's why I said about 2 months ago, this is not about the freedom of the Iraqi people, because I couldn't care less what happens to them. This is about protecting my country. That's why our guys are over there. And by the way, they inflicted more casualties today. Because this bath party, they got these guys over there that apparently are still loyal to Saddam Hussein. And the rank-and-file Iraqi citizen is so beat up and so cowed and made to fear so much that they're not going to do anything bold. The Iraqi people are not going to do anything bold. Look, they didn't have the balls to throw that guy off in the first place. What makes you think that they got to come running to our defense all of a sudden? The Iraqi people just sat there for 30 years and took it. A relative goes off, he gets his eyes pulled out, he gets his fingernails pulled out, he gets his genitals cut off, he gets fed into a meat grinder. It's all in a day's work. And the rest of them, as long as they keep their mouth shut, they have all the electricity they need. All the electricity they need. So they're like most of the world's sheep. Just give them electricity, and they don't care if their neighbor gets pulled out of his house in the middle of the night for writing a particularly vicious editorial in the newspaper, and he's taken to a dungeon where he has his arms and legs cut off. As long as they got their electricity, as long as they can have their air conditioning, they're just going to be comfy. And now the Americans, those dirty, rotten Americans, those people over there in America who actually make bold statements about freedom and liberty and, sometimes, put their foot forward in the name of individual rights, those Americans, what are they? They're a bunch of foreign freaks coming over here.
here telling us all about that stuff. We don't care. We just want air conditioning. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll bring Saddam back. What do you think? As soon as we find him, we'll stick his ass back in power. Would you like that? No. Then you'd be complaining about that, too. So what do you people want, anyway? Do you want us to put him back? You cats that are all about the weapons of mass destruction. The only thing you got to hang on to. The only thing you got to hang on to, because you know that war was the most just and moral war ever fought. So the only thing, and you don't want to be wrong. God forbid you're wrong. So you hang on to that weapons of mass destruction thing. As if he didn't have any. You can't be that stupid. You can't be that stupid to believe that he didn't have any. We may not find any now, but you know as well as I do he had them. So what would you like us to do? You want us to go find the guy and put him back? Because at this point, I don't care. So long as my country is protected. And if it means that the United States forces are in Iraq for 20 years as an occupying force, if it means that the Iraqi people have to be beaten into submission by us instead of Saddam Hussein, that's fine with me. I don't care. Because it wasn't us. It wasn't us that flew the planes into the freaking towers as much as some real brain surgeons would like to believe. It was a terror organization originating in that part of the world, sponsored by, fed by Saddam Hussein and pals like that. So the Iraqis are suffering right now? Tell you what, we'll put that guy back in power. You get all the air conditioning you want. And maybe, just maybe, if you pray to Allah or whoever that guy is that you pray to long enough and hard enough, maybe Saddam won't come looking for you. What do you think of that? 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We're taking phone calls for just the next 30 minutes. Today we've got Don Parsley and Bob Green. A tale of woe from Mr. Parsley, whose wife was killed during the blackout last night while she was looting a television set. She was hit by a bus. Here is Bruce. Bruce, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Great show.
So?
I just think, first I'm going to say about Saddam. I think I got a solution for Saddam. They should do like the Turks in the old Ottoman Empire, cut off his head, put it in one part of the country, cut off each...
All right, here is David. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how are you, Phil?
Good.
I just wanted to say I've been listening to your show for about 2 weeks now and absolutely love it. I just moved down here to South Florida. I live in the Fort Lauderdale area about 6 months ago. And being only 25, I can count the amount of times on one hand that I ever saw the power go out up in Massachusetts. Having been down here for 6 months, I've seen the power go out almost daily. Almost every single day coming home from work, have to reset the clock on the microwave.
Every day?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things about Florida, I can tell you this, when I went down, I started my radio career there. We were knocked off the air constantly during the summer. Have you been down there? You've been down there during the summer months primarily then, and spring months. There's a lot of lightning down there, and radio stations are getting knocked off the air down there. That was my first experience with Florida's very unpredictable weather. But how long is the juice staying off?
5-10 minutes, but one night I came home, it was out for almost an hour and a half.
Have you tried buying a new circuit breaker?
I'm in an apartment, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But I just find it really funny that, come down here, lap of luxury, quote-unquote, and the power freaking goes out almost every single day.
Yeah, we were always kicking the radio station back on the air. We'd go off. But a lot of that has to do with the lightning, and a lot of that has to do... Well, even if it does have to do with the lightning, listen to me. All of a sudden, I'm making excuses again. You're right, sir. You should be pissed. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I've never been hit by lightning. Have you?
Neither
am I. Then how come radio stations get knocked off the air every night? One a night, three a night. I think it's time that we get the hamster out of retirement. I don't know what we're going to do. Wind power.
Yeah,
solar power.
The
something.
Hamster back in the wheel.
All right. Thanks for calling, sir. 1-800-449-8686. See, it's easy to fall back into the let's defend the power company thing. Why don't you guys get some juice that ain't getting knocked off the air by every lightning bolt, every fart, every belch, every bad bowel movement. Next thing you know, oh, we're off the air. Eddie belched. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, let's go to our mailbag. Phil, love the show, but more importantly, agree with you on the Fox-Franken lawsuit. Fox might have a corner on the market when it comes to right-wing muck, but they do not own words in the dictionary. If I had a website, those words would grace it. Glad you had the balls to do it on yours. Love the voices, love the points, love the show. Eric. Add another mark for the websites that are fair and balanced. NewGillennium.Tripod.com. That's NEWGILLENIUM.Tripod.com. They're fair and balanced. Just wanted you to know I put fair and balanced on my website, www.hermic.com. Now, I don't vouch for the content. This could be some hermaphrodite site. It could. When I saw Hermic, hermaphrodite came to mind. I don't know why. So it might be porn. I don't know. www.hermic.com, H-E-R-M-I-C-K.com. Granted, it's just a family homepage, but thought I'd throw my support your way anyway. Yeah, right. Family homepage. Hey, what if someone wrote a book called The Phil Hendry Show, H-E-N-D-R-Y Show, and inside they detailed pedophilia, bestiality, and all sorts of other stuff and called it satire? I doubt you, your affiliate stations, or your parent company would be laughing about it. You would be suing as well. It's called copyright and trademark infringement, and you and your company would protect yours as well. You are way off on this one, Mike. Dear Phil and Phil Hendry Show staff, I've been a fan for years. I live here in the L.A. metro area, and I've been blessed to be able to listen since 95. I just want to say thanks for all the laughs. You make my day. In fact, when KFI put John and Ken on Afternoon Drive, I actually called to complain, telling them I'd never listen to KFI again. Oh, well. I'm very pleased. Backstage pass holder, and I foresee being one for a long time. Thanks, Mike. Dear Phil, so you and Al Franken are going to steal the Fair and Balanced slogan from Fox now. And would it be okay that I start putting out comedy CDs under the guise of Phil Hendry, or just reprint yours, sell them, and keep the dough? He spelt dough, D-O-U-G. It's the same thing, Brian. Here's somebody, consider it done. Zapponet.com, Z-A-P-P-O-N-E-T.com. They're fair and balanced. Got to do it, David. Here's a fair and balanced website, AlaskaJohn.com. AlaskaJohn.com and GirlsNamedAurora.com. I think you have to capitalize Girls Named and Aurora, and you have to capitalize Alaskan John. But they are now fair and balanced websites. Here's another fair and balanced website. Go to www.votetom.org to see how he's fair and balanced. V-O-T-E-T-O-M. It's our mailbag, baby. All right. Okay. So, you know, the fair and balanced thing. If you want to be fair and balanced, put fair and balanced on your website. If you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E-show.com, you will see we are fair and balanced, too, right there on the home page. You see, fair and balanced, it's not the Fair and Balanced News Network. It's the Fox News Network. We are fair and balanced. So the words fair and balanced are not necessarily the copywritten domain, if you will, of Fox. And if you satirize someone, it has to be a satire to the average person. They recognize, to a normal person, that it's satire. To say the Phil Hendry Show, and then you just put in pedophilia, that's not an attempt to show a reasonable person that you're satirizing Phil Hendry. You're just simply slandering me. You're libeling me. But if, however, as in the case of Al Franken, where he puts, the title of the book is Lies and the Lying Liars That Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right, there's absolutely no Fox News in that title at all. He doesn't put Fox News in there at all. He is making fun of the label Fair and Balanced by saying Lies and the Lying Liars That Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right. But you see, these are matters that are very, very complex. And believe me, I've been in the broadcast business 30 years. I know all about the First Amendment. I know all about slander and libel. I know I've had a terrific First Amendment lawyer for many years who's located in the Miami area. And, you know, I've been sued myself for satirizing individuals. So, you know what? This is something that I am very, very expert in. And I can tell you right now, Fox hasn't got a prayer. What if you say it backwards, like balanced and fair?
Because, and I'll tell you something else. The name of our CD is going to be Fair and Balanced. I tell you that. Our Best of CD for the year 2003 is going to be called The Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2003 Fair and Balanced. Now, I would love... Now, not that they would, because Fox doesn't know Phil Henry from a hill of crap. I mean, they wouldn't know me if they tripped over me. But just, you know, I would love, just like if this was another time in another place, for Fox to sue me for using Fair and Balanced on a charity CD. See, you know, I'm giving all the money away to a charity, and I'd love to see those cats sue me. Well, they ain't going to do it, because they realize if they do, they're going to give me publicity. But Al Franken apparently pissed them off too much. I think it's because he was on the homepage there, on Drudge's homepage. Al Franken is satirizing, commenting on Fox News, that they are a right-wing organization. They're a right-wing news-gathering organization, that many of the people that that appear as commentators on that network, in his opinion, are liars, and that there's nothing fair and balanced about it. It's called satire, and when it is in the hands of a skillful satirist like Al Franken, it can be devastating, and when it's devastating, it hurts, and when it hurts, people sue. And that's what Fox is doing. Fox has been very beautifully skewered by Al Franken, and they don't like it. They don't like it at all, and they're going to get their pound of flesh, they're going to get their quart of blood out of him. Because they can dish it out, but they cannot, and this is typical of these right-wingers, they cannot take it. Just like that Ann Coulter. So I was talking about her. She's talking about liberals being traitors. What do you call that? All liberals are traitors. And Bill Clinton hates America. Now, is she a satirist? Well, maybe she is. Maybe she is a satirist. If she is a satirist or thinks she is, she doesn't know anything about satire. Because to make the statement, Bill Clinton hates America, frankly, could be construed as libelous. Except Clinton ain't going to sue. She's not that skillful a writer, and she thinks she is. And to make the statement that all liberals are traitors is either really misguided, a misguided attempt at satire, or she's just an idiot, or she's looking for lots and lots and lots of attention. Either way, she's gotten all three. Because she is the pinup girl for the right, man. They have got her picture hanging in lockers, bathroom stalls, everywhere. I mean, she, the pages are stuck together, and, it's a beautiful thing. So that's what it is. That's what that whole fair and balanced thing is. So what we're doing on our show is we are recommending and we are urging anybody with a website to put fair and balanced at the top of your website. You're a fair and balanced. Become a fair and balanced website. Wouldn't you love to see Fox try to sue everybody? Because they own the world. They own the dictionary. They own fair. They own and they own balanced. And they paid like thousands for each word. Maybe we can buy the words back from Fox one at a time. We'll give you 10,000 for fair, but only like maybe 500 for and, because who needs that? And we'll give you another 10 G's for balanced. Gee, thanks, Fox. Yeah, we'll just replace the and with a slash. You know what? Next thing you know, they're going to claim that they own dumbass, because that's a half of the commentators on that network. That's what they are. And now it's time for the dumbass show. And now it's time for Hannity and Combs. Well, a couple of dumbasses. Wait a minute. You just called those guys dumbasses. We already know they are. We own that word. You're sued. I bet you Fox thinks they own the word fascist and Nazi, too. Fair and balanced fascism. Fox. They don't claim they own those words. Yeah, fair and balanced. Yeah, okay, right. You're fair and balanced. You're about as fair and balanced as a freaking convention of SS officers. That's how fair and balanced you are. I love that, and I love how those guys try to come off like they're really in the middle. Like, Mr. Jones, we attack people on both sides of the political spectrum. They don't do that, man. I'm listening to one of these guys. All he ever does is take off on Clinton. That's all he ever does. Now, you know Bush has had a few people taking some shots at him, and maybe legitimate shots. This energy crisis thing is one of them. I ain't heard them taking off on him. They never do. And that one show they got where a conservative and a liberal, that liberal, that guy's about as effective as a ripple in a crap bowl. Yeah, he's really, what's his name, Alan Combs? Man, you really take it to him, Alan. Nice going. Thanks a lot. Good God. You know, if you get off the freaking heroin, maybe, you know, that's a satire. They have the one guy, the conservative, is the pinup boy that all the chicks dig, and the liberal is some dude that looks like a freaking northern pike. And then they got the one guy that loves porn. This guy, every show, porn this, porn that, porn. He had the porn star on, talking about child porn, talking about adult porn, talking about animal porn, and how bad it all is. Oh, really? Well, that's a bold stand. Wow. And when he's not rapping about that, he's rapping about how destructive Eminem is. He's taking big stands like that. They haven't got a guy on that network that takes one truly significant point of view. Not one. And now they think they own the freaking dictionary. Go for it, Al. We'll try to. What we're going to do here is get everybody's website fair and balanced. See, the arrogance is what I'm talking about here, folks. It's arrogant. It's utter arrogance to believe during the heyday of the conservative movement in America that you are a network. If you call yourself fair and balanced, that's fine. People will perceive you as that, even though you're not. You're right wing all the way. But then it's the height of arrogance to think that you can actually own that phrase. Now, you may be able to own the phrase Fox News fair and balanced. Aha! Fox News fair and balanced. But you don't own fair and balanced. And if you do, people still have the right to make fun of you using that phrase. That's called the First Amendment. And when it is clear satire, it is completely legal. It is in the civil sense. You may not libel people. That's the difference between seeing Phil Hendry show and it's all pedophilia. Because there is no attempt to make a reasonable person believe that it is satire. But then I'm trying to make the point to a lot of people who are not professionals. I've been doing this for a long, long time. I got it covered, baby. Don't worry about it. I got sued for $15 million freaking dollars. You think the guy got nickel one? No. $15 million by a professional football player. The guy didn't see nickel one. Let me restate that. Don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Souvenir shops open. Go get those Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirts and the new Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police watch. It's a belt watch. It's obvious. It's just so cool. You got to check that out. We got the travel mug, of course, the pouch jackets. We have the Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe and tote bag and polo shirt and the baseball cap. It's all in our souvenir shop at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now it's time for the R.C. Collins Email of the Week. Here's your host, R.C. Collins.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Here it is, the email of the person who wins. Yeah! RC, this is an email of a guy who told me, should Kobe Bryant pay off that girl or not? What do you think he should do? And the best email wins a Phil Hendry Show ball cap! Dear RC, you pose an interesting slant to the Kobe Bryant case. I agree Kobe should pay the mountain crash to get her off his back. But, I mean, a little of consent is no big deal when it comes to a person of the...
Oh, let me read it.
What?
You're screwing it up. Dear RC, you pose an interesting slant to the Kobe Bryant case. I agree Kobe should pay the mountain trash to get off his back. Besides, we all know she wanted it right. What's a little matter of consent? It's no big deal when it comes to an athlete like Kobe. Did you see the ring Kobe botted for his wife? He put it...
What does he mean, botted?
Because that's the way you talk, you idiot. So he's making fun of you. He putted her in the same class...
What? Putted?
Now, that's what you say, man. Didn't you read the diary entry that you had in there? Whose ever email is the goodest?
Well, as far as I know, according to my sources, that's proper English.
According to your sources, he putted her in the same class as the mountain trash he hooked up with in Colorado. You are a genius, R.C. The way to a woman's heart is through a man's wallet. When you get to Iraq and put Saddam Hussein's head on a stick, make sure to call Phil's show, Leper Phi, J.R. Moldenauer.
J.R., you win a Phil Henry Show ball cap!
Ass.
All right, there you go. Pull that Marilyn Manson out of here, okay? Take that decrepit debt poser and put him back where he belongs. All right, so you're the winner there, J.R. Moldenauer of the Phil Henry Show ball cap. Good job, baby. Good job. Just saw an ad for Russell Crowe's band. 40 Foot of Grunt. Is that what it's called? Now, my engineer, Mark Newman, used to work in San Francisco. And Russell Crowe paid a visit to the radio station. And was it to promote his music? Just to promote one of his lousy movies. Now, this guy, Russell Crowe, apparently thinks he's the second coming of Frank Sinatra because he's got a posse of, like, how many people was in this thing, Mark? Like 10, and a posse like 10 guys, and they shut the elevator down at the radio station. They shut all the elevators down. Where were you, at KSAN? KSAN in San Francisco. They shut all the elevators down so that you couldn't use the elevators because Russell is in the building, and after all, we don't want people going up and down elevators. It might just kind of bug him. It might blow his concentration. He may, you know, the whole character thing just may, you know, he's a method guy. You know, what exactly happens to a person when they get so famous they need 10? Is it the autographs? I can understand a guy like Russell Crowe probably has people hanging on him wanting autographs. I understand that. And I understand how if you want to just sit down and have lunch, it could probably be a hassle. What's with shutting the elevators down? So, you know, I hope you're enjoying the ride, Crow, because one of these days you're going to be eating it. As in eating Russell. I hope you're enjoying the ride, baby. I hope you got a lot of money saved, because when it goes bad, brother, it goes real, real bad. Anybody remember the name Dennis Quaid? Hey, by the way, where is that woman that Russell Crowe just gave a joyride to and then kicked her out of a moving car? Meg Ryan, is that her name? Boy, what a joyride he took you on, baby. And then just pushed you out of a moving vehicle. And that J-Lo, man, you better watch out, sweetheart. It's a good thing you got that big rear end, because the minute they push you out of the car, you're going to be bouncing down the street on that big ass. You're going to need all the padding you can get. 1-800, it's all famous fleeting. Remember what the slave said to the Roman emperor, all fame is fleeting. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
Spooch!
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Can you tell me? Can you tell me what your name is, sir? Okay, is he there?
Sir, my name's Don Parsley.
Don, you are calling us from Akron, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
And Chris tells me that you lost your wife last night.
Yes, sir, I did.
And tell me how it happened.
We had an extensive blackout in Pine Hills, which is a neighborhood here in Akron, and my wife was out near Russell Highway last night. She was hit by a car. She was carrying our third child, Melanie. We had named her. And we have two other children. My son, Philip, who is 3, our daughter, Carrie, who is 6.
Your son's name is Philip?
Yes, sir. And I don't know how President Bush could let this happen.
Was this in the middle of the blackout?
Yes.
So your wife was hit on a highway in the middle of the blackout. What was she? Was she in her car, or was she a pedestrian?
I have to tell you that my wife has always been a support for our family, but we've never had a lot of money. And she was down on Russell Highway. One of the electronic stores was broken into. And she saw a crowd, and she went in there with them, and they had a TV set. She had a TV set.
Your wife looted a store?
Well, I'm not proud of it, and I don't call it looting. She was just looking out for her family is all. That's all she's ever done is looked out for us. I have not been able to work. I'm a Gulf War veteran. I had a stress-related disability, and the Army deemed me unfit for service, so...
Were you, so you're a Gulf War veteran, but you were not in the Gulf?
No, I was not in the Gulf. I was back at Fort Starter, and I had a dishonorable discharge. I have not been able to work for the last 13 years. So my wife works, and now she's gone. And
all right, Don, hold on for a minute. Your name is Don Parsley?
Yes, sir.
Don lost his wife last night. She was hit by a car on Russell Highway in Akron, Ohio. Now, you admit she was looting a store.
I don't call it looting. I think she just saw people going into a store and taking things out, and she said to herself, I think anybody would have done the same thing. I don't think there's one person listening to your show that wouldn't do it.
Well, I, you know.
But, I mean, she went into the store, got a TV set, and apparently tripped or something out on the highway and was hit by a transit bus.
Good God. So now there's three children.
No, sir, we have two children.
Two children who are without their mother. You acknowledge, though, that she was doing something illegal, right?
I acknowledge she was doing something illegal. I don't see how that she deserved to die for that.
Well, I don't think she deserved to die either, sir. I just, it's a snapshot into the life. Are you poor? I mean, you must be poor people.
Well, I would say poor in money, rich in spirit. We always had a very rich family in terms of spirit. And,
but economically, you're poor.
Economically, yeah. I don't work. But I think President Bush has a lot to answer for, because he murdered my wife. As far as I'm concerned, the federal government murdered my wife.
So you blame President Bush for the blackout last night?
I certainly do. And I blame all the government officials for my wife. She never would have looted or even been in that area if George Bush hadn't made the blackout happen.
Why do you think George Bush made the blackout happen? Why do you think that happened?
Well, because you can look and see the federal government's always buying, like, they have a new Air Force One jet and helicopters that they take. President, I took a White House tour one time. Many of your listeners probably have not, and presidents live very good. I'm sure you've seen the way the presidents live on the Jackie Onassis special that they did. They showed it, all the furniture, and Bush is living high on the hog, and my wife gets hit by a bus because she's trying to feed her children, and I think that's really what's going on.
So you think the politicians in Washington caused the blackout by not being more careful?
That's what I think. So, but it doesn't make any difference. Poor people are never taken care of in America.
All right, Don, I want to do something. I'm going to open my phone lines up. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. My producer, Chris, said to me that you called simply to express your opinion. You don't want any charity.
No, I'm not here to get charity. I just want people to know the story of a woman that I love very much. Her name was Deanna Parsley. She was 32 years old.
I understand, sir.
And she was trying to help her family. That's all she was doing.
I understand the family has no insurance. You have no insurance. You have no money coming in.
No, she had a job. She had a part-time job. She did nails. She worked as a beautician part-time.
You have no insurance. You have no way of feeding the children. I just want to open our phone lines up now, 1-800-449-8686, and maybe somebody could help you out. I know you don't want charity, but if someone really wanted to do it...
I mean, I am a Gulf War veteran and everything, but that's the one thing I learned, being a veteran, you don't take charity.
But if somebody really wanted to help...
If someone really wanted to help, I guess for my children I would, but I don't want anything for me. I have to bury my wife.
I know, sir. What a night. The things we have to endure as Americans sometimes. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. How old was your wife?
She was 23, and she just did everything so good.
And when she was out there on that highway, and she went into that store to take that television set, she was doing something for the family, but she was attempting to steal, wasn't she?
I don't see it as stealing when you're doing it for your babies, just so they have something to eat. I don't see.
But it was a TV set.
It was a TV set, yes. But that's the same. In order for us to watch the shows and everything, is the same as if you're going to go get food. I mean, it's no different. Why does everybody else get to have a TV, but we don't?
Did you have a television?
We had a television, yeah. But this one that she had, I guess she thought about the children. It had a built-in VCR, and I just miss her so much.
So your wife looted this TV set because it had a built-in VCR.
I wish you wouldn't use the word loot. Because
she walked into a store that the
windows had been pushed in, the door had been pushed in. She did not have any say, or she had no hand in pushing in. It was already open, and the glass was already broken, and other people were taking stuff. Why couldn't she take stuff? There was no cops there.
Because as somebody else is doing it, we learned this as children. Doesn't mean it's right to do. But I'm not going to judge your wife. You lost her last night. Did you say she was hit by a transit bus?
She was hit by it, yes, sir. She tripped on the cord. Apparently, the witnesses say she tripped on the cord. The TV says she was trying to get over to the car, and she fell in front of it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This man is Don Parsley. His wife was killed, hit by a bus last night in Akron, Ohio, after she and others took part in, I can only use the word, looting an electronics store. She took a TV set during the power outage in Akron. Mr. Parsley has two children. He is unemployed. They have no insurance. Let me talk over here to Marilyn. Go ahead, Marilyn. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Well, I'm a Christian. I have much sympathy for this man losing his wife. But there comes a time you have to say what's reality. And the reality is she was taking something that didn't belong to her. And I don't know how anybody could be at fault, but she has to assume responsibility for her own actions.
I think she has, ma'am. She's dead. She's looking at God right now. She's looking at God right now. But she's left two children, and I'm on disability. Otherwise, I'd be out finding a job, but I can't. I have stress-related disability. My nerves are bad. I got two children I got to feed. I don't care. I mean, my wife's paying for her crime right now. She's looking in the face of the Lord right now.
I'm sure, and God forgives. Thank God for that.
I mean, if you wish my wife's in hell,
we don't take responsibility for our actions.
But
the government is not supposed to take care of us.
But you come on here and you hope my wife goes to hell for the things she did.
I didn't say that.
Well, you said take responsibility.
That doesn't mean she has to go to hell.
Yeah, but Christians, isn't that what you people believe?
A spade a spade. Did she loot? She did. She took something that did not belong to her.
Okay, but so you Christians don't think people like that ought to go down to hell and burn forever, right?
No.
Just burn in hell?
I think that's what Christ died on the cross for.
Okay,
see,
well, all I'm saying is...
Well, let me ask a question. Do you want assistance for your family, Mr. Parsley?
I want my kids to have some food, that's all. I don't want anything. I'm a very proud man. I don't take anything for myself. But my
baby. What do you do with your disability?
My disability from the Army?
Yeah.
I'm on a. Well, first of all, number one, my disability goes toward my medical, okay? And number two, I'm able to make some small payments for occasional groceries and everything else, but I have a lot of medicine I got to take.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, so your kid, you said that your daughter, you have one little girl, a little boy?
My son is Philip. He's three.
All right. You say he hasn't had anything to eat today.
Well, sir, he hasn't. But if people want to call up and yell at my wife and hope she goes to hell, that's fine with me. I don't care.
That is not so, sir.
Well, ma'am, I've got a
hungry... Not ever did I say that.
Ma'am, I got a hungry little boy.
Kids, I think those little children should be taken care of, and you should be a daddy and see that they're
taken care of. I'm doing the best I can, but I'm talking about my little son who's hungry, and you come on talking about my wife cooking in hell. And
the lady has said three times now she didn't want your wife to go to hell.
Well, then what's she calling up and saying all this stuff for?
She's giving an opinion.
I'm just saying that wrong is wrong. I'm sorry. That was not my decision. It was your wife's decision.
Okay, do you have any... Were you going to donate any money to my son, or are you just here to hear yourself talk, or...
No, wait.
You did not want any money.
That's exactly what you said, sir.
Not for myself, no, but what about my boy?
Well, sir, look, Marilyn, I thank you for your call.
Well, you're going to hang up on her before she wants to give money. I think that's wrong.
Well, no, the lady has indicated that's all. Is that all you had to say, ma'am?
Yes, that's all I have to say.
Okay,
thank you.
My son will starve. Thanks very much.
No,
thanks a lot.
You have a responsibility.
Yeah, thank you, Marilyn. Sir, you don't want money for yourself.
No, but she calls up, talks about she judges my wife after my wife got hit by a truck last night, and I had to identify the body.
I understand that. 1-800-449-8686. This is always the toughest part of doing a talk show. This man, Don Parsley, whose wife was killed last night, hit by, did he say a truck? In Akron, Ohio, during the blackout. She was a part of a group of people that were looting an electronics store, but he says she was getting the TV set for the kids. She is the sole support of the family, and now he's got two kids that are hungry. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will continue.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Back on the Phil Henry Show, Don Parsley is with us, a man who lost his wife last night to an automobile accident. This was a bus hitting her?
Yes, sir.
She was hit while she was trying to cross a highway near Akron, Ohio after looting an electronics store. I know you don't like the word.
Well, you can call it anything you want, looting or stealing or trying to take care of her family, but she loved her family more than anything. And she saw the store was open and nobody was taking any money. And everybody was taking everything out of there. So I tell you right now, I think that, and President Bush killed her more than anybody. But all I'm asking for, and I'm not asking for anything, my kids are starving, and that's all there is to it.
But you called my show.
Because I just wanted to say, if somebody wanted to give money to my kids, they could, but I don't expect they would, because American people didn't care about me. I'm a Gulf War veteran. I've been on disability because it's too stressful.
I'm going to ask you a question here, Don, and then we're going to go to a phone call, okay?
Yes, sir.
I can hear the distinct sound, because I have a billiard table of my own. I can hear the distinct sound of balls. Are you in a billiard hall right now?
I'm not. I'm over to local, just a local bar.
And are they shooting pool over there?
Yeah. It's something that helps me. The doctor says whatever relieves stress.
Well, you're shooting pool, and maybe having a beer?
I don't think there's a law against that, sir.
No, that's fine. Shooting pool, having a beer, and your kids are hungry.
I'm trying to do the best I can, but I'm just nervous about a lot of stuff.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Alice, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Don?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Is this Don?
Yes, it is.
Your wife just died, and when is her funeral?
As soon as we can afford a coffin.
And you're in a bar and your children are at home?
I'm talking to the talk show right now, ma'am.
And how old was your wife?
What? Are you writing a book?
No, I just wondered how old she was.
31.
Because you said she was 32, and then you said she's 23, and now you say she's 31.
Are you writing a book?
I don't, you know, if something doesn't ring true about your story.
Well, ma'am, you got to walk a mile in a man's shoes before you can judge him.
Well, you got to be honest.
I am being honest, ma'am.
Well, I've heard
okay.
your voice before.
How old was your wife?
My wife, I said, was 31.
All right, here is Julie. Go ahead, Julie.
Hi, hello?
Good, ma'am. Yes, hi.
Hi. Listen, I have a soft spot for children. I would love to give your kids some food, but this story just keeps getting worse and worse. And, you know, the longer I sit on hold, the longer I'm not sure if I really want to send your kids food. I mean, you're...
Ma'am, I don't want any money for my...
Do you have children?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
You do?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
And what are their names again?
My name?
Your names. What are their names again?
Well, I'll give you their names, but then you'll call me a liar, and then you'll say that I'm lying, and how do I know you don't remember?
Just tell me what your kids' names were.
My daughter's name is Carrie, and my son's name was Paul.
Paul? I thought it was Peter.
No, see, you're wrong. You didn't hear good.
I didn't hear right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, what was the daughter that your wife was carrying? What was her name?
You writing a book, too?
I just want to know.
The thing of it is everybody...
I called up because I wanted
pills?
To send your kids. I called up because I wanted to send your kids food.
Okay.
But your story keeps changing.
Oh, ma'am, look, I don't want no money for myself. I just want my son to have a cup of milk.
Okay, well, you tell these people to take me off the phone and give me your address, and I'll send your kid McDonald's.
But before you do that, Julie, you're in a bar. Are you buying beer?
Am I buying beer?
No. I'm asking Mr. Parsley. You say you're having a beer?
You know something? There's no law against that.
No, but if your son needs a cup of milk, and you just bought yourself a beer?
Yeah,
beer is way less expensive than milk. I can't afford milk. I can afford one beer, and I'm not going to serve my son beer. That's not going to happen.
Wait, sir, you can only afford beer, but you're going to forego buying your son milk.
Milk is way expensive. What milk can you get? What milk can you?
Okay, Julie, are you talking
milk
to
is expensive.
Julie, are you talking to somebody?
No, I'm in the car.
Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. And
I wanted to answer that lady.
Well, you can answer some other people. She's obviously preoccupied. Our guest here is Don Parsley. Mr. Parsley, you're buying beer and you're in a pool hall. I want to know why you can't get your son a cup of milk. You say because milk is more expensive than beer?
Yes, sir, it is. You can ask anybody. I can afford a cup of beer, but the same amount of milk, I can't. I don't have enough money for.
So you're just going to go ahead and have a beer?
No law against it, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This guy is something fishy about his story. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Talking with Don Parsley, who is a disabled veteran. His wife was hit by a transit bus last night in Akron, Ohio, while she was taking part in the looting of a store during the blackout. And you are on our show, you say paying tribute, but you also want money for your kids. Was your wife, was she stealing more than just a TV set? Are you there, Mr. Parsley?
Yes, I am.
Was your wife stealing more than a TV set?
She had a DVD player and some DVDs. I mean, you have to understand something. The store, you're accusing my wife of being a thief. What about George Bush being a thief, killing all these people with the blackout and all the Iraqis, too?
Killing Iraqis? We're not talking about the Iraq War.
Well, it's the same thing to me. If you want to blame my wife for stealing, then I can blame George Bush for killing Iraqis. But my daughter needs milk, and she needs it now, and she'll die.
Well, you're shooting pool and drinking beer in a pool hall. You could take some of that money to buy your daughter milk, but you say that milk's more expensive than beer.
Yes, it is. I happen to know. I'm a father. Are you?
Yes, I am, sir.
Well, are you a father of little tiny children?
No.
Okay, then you don't know anything about milk. So if I were you, maybe you just want to put a sock in the hole under your nose because I'm trying...
Sir, I'm trying to help you out, and telling me to put a sock in a hole under my nose is not the way to engender friends.
1-800-449-8686. Karen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. How
Hi.
You doing?
Good.
Don, I'm interested in something. How old did you say your wife was?
Oh, man, you got some of the stupidest people listening to you. Nobody remembers the name of my wife.
She asked how old she was.
I already said how old she was.
Okay, I know you said she was two different ages. One was 32 and the other one was 23. I think you are full of crap.
No, I did not.
You need some tissues for your issues because you're not doing anything but lying ever since you've been up there. If you wanted some milk for your kids, you should have had your kids with you, and they should have been in the background saying, Daddy, I am hungry, or I need something to eat.
Oh, so I can hire some kid actors to do that, lady. You must be kidding me.
Drinking beer, trying to say that you don't need any money for yourself, but you need money for your kids. You are full of crap.
Do you have children?
Peter.
Do you have children?
Then
no.
You said your son name is Paul.
No, you've got a bad memory, lady. You got a bad memory, lady. You got a bad memory, lady. Okay.
Over this show.
All right. Okay. We're not having a conversation here. It's just a one-way thing. Stephanie, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to talk to Don. You still there, Don?
Go ahead, ma'am.
Well,
and turn your radio down, ma'am. Turn your radio down. Turn the radio down or off.
All right, got it down.
Turn it off. Turn the radio off.
It's off.
Okay, go ahead.
I have two young children myself. I know how expensive milk is. But every state has...
Are you talking to the host of the show? Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you, sir. I'm talking to the lying gentleman that's on the phone playing pool when his kids are supposedly starving.
Yeah, what are you doing right now?
I'm driving home after eating groceries for my children.
And how do you get the money? How do you get the money for the groceries?
I work. I'm sure you do work.
And where are your legs when you're working?
Okay, what is that supposed to mean?
Oh, you son of a...
Okay, are they up in the air?
I served my country through the military. I didn't wuss out saying, oh, I can't take the stress. I worked on the flight deck of a carrier, the most stressful environment of the world.
Big wow.
Oh,
big wow.
Were you a paper pusher back there in that fort?
You know something, lady? I don't think you was ever in the military. What grade were you?
I was an E-3, USS Carl Vinson.
Okay. Did you ever have to turn tricks?
No.
What is that story?
I bet your legs are behind your ears like Bugs Bunny.
Okay.
You must have had me confused with some other sluts on the ship that you slept with.
I have war stress. I have Gulf War stress. My hands shake.
You weren't even in the war.
I almost was in the war, but they wouldn't let me go because I had stress.
Almost don't count for nothing. Almost don't count. If your kids are so hungry, why ain't you on WIC or welfare?
WIC? I'm not familiar with it. Women and children.
You know, for children under the age of 5, it supplies milk, cheese, bread, cereal.
My son.
They give you money to go buy food for your children under the age of 5.
Well, my kids aren't under 5. My son is...
How old is your son?
He's 7.
Oh, and how old is your daughter?
9.
Oh, I just where you said she had a young child.
She is?
Then why
don't you, you don't think 9 is young?
No. See, that's young, but not talking young children. You know?
What was your wife hit by last night?
I'm sorry?
What was your wife hit by last night?
She got hit by it. See, you people...
Spit it out!
You're doing nothing but asking me questions. You won't give me a chance to...
What was your wife hit by last night?
She was hit by a car.
I thought it was a transit bus.
You said a transit bus.
My wife... See, you people are liars.
What is your wife's name? I don't think, sir, that your story is adding up to diddly squat. Hit by a transit bus, hit by a car. What was her name?
Her name was Janet.
Her name was Deanna about 5 minutes ago.
You're a lying sack of crap. And so is this whore who is...
And quit with the whore stuff about this caller.
My wife was hit by an ice cream truck.
Ice cream truck. I bet you she tasted good for the pimp on the corner she was pimping for.
Hey, where'd you hire those kids to pretend like they're your kids in the back seat? Or was that the one that you had last night?
So let's dump all of that out. Okay, did you dump it? Oh, my God.
Did you hear the word she called me?
Yes, I did, sir.
She told me to stuff it up my a-hole, you effing bee. And then,
by the way, where's the pool hall?
What pool hall?
The one that was behind you just a second ago.
Oh.
Get out of here. Well, there you go. Some pretty nasty stuff. Don Parsley needs milk for his kid. His wife got hit by a transit bus. No, an ice cream truck. No, a car. What do you want now?
My wife's a big fan of yours. Can you send me an autographed CD?
Get out. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kitten. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The more you talk, the more ignorant you sound. Now, how is it that you buy your daughter a bra make you a pervert?
Oh, really?
Now, listen, sir.
Oh,
let me say one thing.
One of these female lawyers who love to sue guys for being pervert, and one of these ladies at the party said, "Hey, Steve, do you have anything bigger than those hot dogs?"
Okay, sir, listen, let me say something to you. You are to be an example to their children. How can you set an example by suing your daughter, and then you have the audacity to say that you love your daughter and you want to take from her? How can you say you are very thin skinned, sir, and you have issues? I would hope that you would check yourself into a hospital because you are mentally ill, because everything that comes out of your mouth makes you sound more and more stupid.
This is what I'm saying. You want me to be mentally ill, so they'll check me into a sexual pervert hospital.
You have issues, and how dare you disgrace your mother-in-law in saying that you're glad that she has breast cancer.
She's doing nothing but breaking my castanets for 15 years.
Let me tell you something. By her dealing with her cancer, she has no thought of you. She is dealing with her disease
that she's dealing with. You're wrong. She's sitting back there with cancer thinking, boy, this will bust his you-know-what.
That's what she's doing. She's got breast cancer. She's battling for her life, and she's thinking about breaking your castanets on that one.
That's right.
I really hope that you get some serious mental help because you are ignorant and you need help.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm at the birthday party for the girls. I'm grilling up hot dogs, and the women come over and they say to me, "You got anything bigger than those?" Because they're waiting for me to be a pervert and waiting for me to be a pervert.
And so what was your answer to them?
I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "No, these are the only their bun length. That's what I was asked to get." And they all started laughing.
And that was it.
And they
you
all
know
started
what?
Laughing.
That was it. I hope that your wife would get the kids away from you because you have issues.
See, there you go. Even though I don't want to be a pervert, you want to make me one.
What I'm saying is that you have mental issues that you need to deal with. And until you deal with them, you do not need to deal with your daughter or anyone else.
Okay, but my mother-in-law blames me for the cancer. She says that I've been a horrible husband for her daughter, and I caused her distress so bad she got sick, and I'm thinking about suing her for making those comments.
You know what? Do you work?
Yeah, I got my own construction contracting business.
Are you pleasantly working right now? Because
I'm on the phone talking to you. Am I working right now?
No,
I'm talking about each
day. She's
going to
ask me. Calling me stupid. She's asking me if I'm working right now. Does it sound like I'm working right now?
You want to sue everybody. You're trying to get money. And all it's going to do, your lawyer would take the case. They'll take any case because they'll take the money from you.
Dolores Blasingame believes that we have a case that could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
She'll tell you anything as long as she can get her hands on your wallet.
You got that right. Well, thank you. I turned this on because this is one of the most stupidest things I ever heard. I really pray, sir, that you get some help.
Can I ask you a question, man? How come those women asked me if I had any sausages instead of hot dogs? You know sausages are larger, and that's a sexual connotation. And, Mr. Henry, this time I'm going to say that I feel badgered by this caller, and I would like her name and address.
You're not going to get my call.
Are you going to sue me now?
Yes, ma'am. Because of the way you badgered me, yes, ma'am.
Don't give him anything, Sheila. Don't give him anything.
No. I won't give him anything. It's just the point that you're going to sue. Now you're going to sue me. What have I said to you? You're going to sue me
I'll sue you. Yes, I will sue you. I'll sue you for making fun of me and also for emotional distress.
What for what, man? Are you crazy?
Sir, had emotional distress before you called here. And number one, thinking about the emotional distress that you're going to bring upon your daughter. That's what you need to think about.
My daughter, she laughed at me and put the training bra on me. I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my G. I don't believe this. You all have a blessed evening.
Get a load of this cat.
I'm going to pray for you. If you're crying because of the things I said to you, you need to think about it. But I really believe this is a crime. I don't believe him.
Will you pray for me?
Yes, I will.
When she called my wife to tell her about how she made me cry, my wife had the gall to say I would never fit into a training bra because I have man boobs.
Anyway,
so you have a good night,
yeah,
okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Is she gone?
Bill Henry Show. Comedy gold.
You know what I like about that bit was when Steve said, I got bun length. That's what they asked me to get. You got anything bigger than that? Hey, I got bun length. That's Steve Bozell, a flashback here on the Phil Henry Show, talking about the humiliation of buying his daughter a training bra. Well, they're trying to... This is really... I don't know, you know, there's no way that this is going to mean anything. But I guess somebody was trying to dig up dirt on Arnold Schwarzenegger's father. Schwarzenegger looked into it himself. Because he probably thought, boy, I better do it before these other cats do it. You know, the guys that don't want me to be elected. Anyway, Arnold Schwarzenegger's old man was a member of the SA, which was known as the colloquially as the Brown Shirts. They were the forerunners of the Black Shirts. No, the Brown Shirts were the Brown Shirts, and the Black Shirts were the fascists of Italy. But anyway, he joined the Brown Shirts, and they were a really despicable group of street thugs. They were the ones that caused something called the Crystal Night. Or the Night of Crystal, where they went through the cities of Germany and smashed the windows of every Jewish-owned store. And about 6 months after they did Kristallnacht, he joined the SA. This man's name was Gustav Schwarzenegger. He was a member of the Nazi Party. He applied for membership in 1938. The records contain no other information about his activities with the SA. Without further documentation, it's difficult to draw conclusions about what Gustav Schwarzenegger did with the SA, according to a documentarian at the Archive of the Austrian Resistance. Austrian documents also show Gustav Schwarzenegger served with German army units that saw some of the World War II's bloodiest moments, including the invasion of Poland, France, and Russia. For years, Schwarzenegger has been dogged by his father's past and unsubstantiated rumors that he is an anti-Semite and a Nazi sympathizer. He sued a writer for libel over such allegations in a 1988 British newspaper article. The case was settled. A Schwarzenegger spokesman said Wednesday, it's been well documented that Arnold is concerned about his father's activities in the German army. He's been asked about it for years. Where is his old man? Is he dead? The Austrian archive includes papers that determined Gustav Schwarzenegger could work for the post-war state because no specific war crime had been attributed to him. So he worked as a police officer until his death in 1972. That was called the denazification of the occupied countries in World War II. And they'd take some of these guys that were Nazis. They were low-level Nazis and just kind of low-level party flunkies that they figured, hey, they're lightweights. We can turn them into cops or reintroduce them as bureaucrats. So that's what Arnold Schwarzenegger's old man was, Gustav Schwarzenegger. The actor has been a strong supporter of Jews and Jewish causes over the years. Arnold Schwarzenegger contributed $750,000 of his own money to the Wiesenthal Center. He showed copies of some of the Austrian documents reviewed by the Times to the Wiesenthal Center and asked the researchers to dig deeper. So you don't want that. So he's being smart with that. But, you know, a guy shouldn't have to do that, should he? So what, his old man was a Nazi? So what? What's that got to do with anything? So you immediately assume that the kid shares his parents' belief. Well, just talk to the guy. What kind of a guy is he? There's all kinds of people in Germany today whose parents were Nazis who are perfectly fine people. There's also all kinds of people in Germany today that used to be in the Hitler Youth. But they were punk kids. What did they know? They were stupid kids that the Nazis put into this youth corps. And then when the war ended, they were, you know, told what was up. Just a bunch of dumb kids. So what if his old man was a freaking Nazi? Why don't you guys get a life at the LA Times and wherever else? That, you talk about a waste of a reporter's time. And I'm not going to vote for Schwarzenegger. I don't care. But what's right is right. The guy has been sympathetic to Jewish causes. He's got very good friends that work at the Wiesenthal Center. And the L.A. Times, once again, I mean, who reads that paper anymore anyway? I guess Schwarzenegger still does. Once again, they're wasting everybody's time with some hunt to find out whether Gustav Schwarzenegger was a brown shirt or a pink shirt, or whether he beat up Jews, or whether he just sat on his ass and served up sauerbraten to the party higher-ups. Sir Gustav!
Yes, sir.
Go get me another beer.
Yeah.
That was Gustav Schwarzenegger running for beer. Running for steins of beer. That was it. But, you know, because the guy, you know, Schwarzenegger running for public office, he may be a Nazi. Since when are you worried about us electing Nazis, man? Since when's the L.A. Times worried about us electing Nazis? Right now, half the cats writing books in this country are Nazis. And there'll be more as soon as Anne gets around to writing her third one. As soon as O'Reilly gets around to writing his next book, there'll be another Nazi book out. What do you guys care? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, a backstage pass can be had at www.philhenryshow.com. You've got to go to the website to get access to our archived comedy. And to get to that archive comedy, you got to have a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. And you get the greatest radio comedy on the web from The Phil Henry Show. Also, our Best of the Year 2002 CD available in our souvenir shop. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Thanks.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Probably the second biggest story of the day is the grocer in Buena Park, California. Now, there has been a suit filed, or not a suit, but a complaint to the California Labor Board. Mr. Green, Robert Green is with us. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. The woman was fired by you. She was a checker, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
You fired this woman after giving her a raise.
Well, I'd like to tell the story from the beginning.
But that seems to be the sort of bizarre aspect of this. After giving this woman and after telling this woman she had a raise, you fired her.
But there are very good reasons for it, Phil. And I think when the California Labor Board hears my reasons, and the people of California and the American people hear my reasons, I think they'll understand. This woman, by the name of Patty Norris, who is one of our checkers, had asked me for a raise because she had been with us for probably, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 years. And I went home, and I thought about it, and I talked it over with our comptroller. And the next day, I went into my office. I called Patty into the office, and I told her that fortunately we did have it in the budget, that she had been a terrific worker, and that we were very happy to give her a 15% raise effective with her next paycheck.
Okay.
She thanked me, and then she did something when we were left the office and we were walking down onto the floor. There were other customers there. She was walking back to her checkout stand. And she said, "Mr. Green, I want you to know that I had prayed on this to Jesus, and the very next day, Jesus answers my prayers and gives me the raise through you." And that's when I said to myself, she's really asking for it. What did I do to deserve this? That she would insult me?
Well, wait a minute. What was insulting about? Now, this is the crux of...
Because we are in a very ethnic neighborhood, number one. I had people who are customers for Arabs, Jews, all kinds of people. And here she is talking to me about Jesus. And that's the last thing these Arabs want to hear about. And the last thing any of these Muslims want to hear about, and these Jews, is Jesus. And she brings up Christianity in front of these people. That's number one. Number two, she insults me because And I understand people pray, and I think they should pray. But she said in front of other employees that somehow I didn't have anything to do with it, that Jesus did. And that's, you know, that's a little bit of a slap in the face. If you know these people the way I know these people, the last thing they want to hear when they're shopping is that their religion is garbage. And when you say I prayed to Jesus, you're telling a Muslim and a Jew that their religion is nothing but garbage.
And so you fired this woman in front of all of these people.
Phil, I had just given this woman a raise. I didn't want to make a big deal about it. Not only does she make a big deal, she threatens my business.
Well, that's at the crux of your complaint to the California Labor Board. You're saying that this woman, by saying that she prayed to Jesus for the raise and thanking you, she threatens your business. How?
When she says thanks, I prayed to Jesus about the raise in front of customers, all these Arabs, they don't want to come back. And the Jews, they don't want to come back either, because now I got some, forgive me, but I got this Jesus Bible thumper working for me. And I saw money going right down the toilet.
All right, sir, I got to ask you, did you call her an ungrateful cow?
She threatened my business, Mr. Henry.
Well, wait a minute. Did you call her an ungrateful cow? Because she's gone to...
Yeah, because she threatened my business. And I had said, you got the raise. And then she turns around and says, I prayed on it to Jesus. So first of all, that's like a symbolic kick to the groin. And second of all, saying that she prayed on it to Jesus, now all of these Jews... I'm not aware of how I got in this position, but we are trying to work it out through our attorneys, but she's not going to get dime one.
All right, 1-800-449-868. No, don't hang up yet, sir. I want you to take some calls.
I'm sorry.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. You terminated a woman from your employ because she thanked Jesus in front of other employees and in front of other customers. And you think that that is a threat to your business?
It absolutely is a threat, Phil. The Bible thumpers, I don't mean to say...
Well, what do you just call them, Christians?
All right, the Christians, when they start running around and thanking Jesus in front of everybody, in my neighborhood, which has a lot of Jews, Arabs, we've got Chinese, and the Chinese are also of another religion. They believe in the Buddhism religion. I got Chinese everywhere. I got them all. And I'm in the middle of this trying to hold it together and trying to make a living at the same time. Do I have this kind of food or that kind of food? I carry a wide variety of ethnic foods. I carry a wide variety of different coffees and things like that to try to serve my customers. Then I get an employee who says, and I prayed to Jesus. And I looked over, and one of the women that comes into the store, who is Arab, because she's got the Arab headgear on, she looks at me, and I could see the look on her face like she didn't want to shop there no more.
But you call her an ungrateful cow. Now she's going to the California Labor Board for wrongful termination. You've turned around and sued her because you say she publicly humiliated you. You know.
Well, she thanked Jesus for the raise in front of me. Okay, so she grabbed a $1,500 hairpiece that I was wearing and threw it out into the parking lot. All because I exercised what is my right to terminate an employee.
All right, well, this was the part. You said you went to get your hairpiece, and she claims that you removed a Christian fish emblem from the back of her car. I mean, this turned into a melee, didn't it?
Mr. Henry, it wasn't started by me.
The way that I've got the time frame that I got is, you said to her, Ms. Norris, you've got the raise.
That is correct.
She said in front of other people, I prayed on it to Jesus, and that embarrassed you.
Yes, of course it did.
So you called her an ungrateful cow.
That is correct.
Then you claim she grabbed, and you put it in the court papers, a $1,500 hairpiece off of the top of... I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I got other things to do, Mr. Henry.
No, please, Mr. Green, I'm sorry for laughing, but she grabbed a $1,500 hairpiece and threw it out into the parking lot. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
And then when you went out to get it, you pried a metal fish symbol off of her car?
Yeah, the fish symbol is I was angry. The fish symbol thing is what these Christians do, and they tell everybody that's what they are. Phil, it's very important. We're in a recession, and one of the reasons that businesses are doing badly is because their employees are all running around praising Jesus. Now, this is what they don't tell you, but you've got a lot of these Christians running around, praise Jesus this and praise Jesus that. And the other thing is the fish on the back of the car, and that, I see that. I see dollar bills going down the toilet.
Well, we have a very complex case here. It may be a freedom of speech case. You don't want her praising Jesus, but you don't mind what religion she is.
That's correct.
You just don't want her saying it.
I just don't want her saying it. She can be any religion she wants, and I think that that's the American way. But when you start saying, you know, hey, praise the Lord, all this, and a Jew hears it, or what are these Arabs? Now, these Muslims now, they're making themselves known because they're all over the place. They get upset about it, and it costs me customers.
Do you have a stated policy there will be no praising Jesus, none of that stuff?
I have said to my employees that there is, you know, your religion is your religion, but we do have, keep the Jesus talk to a minimum.
Well, you didn't say don't do it.
I said keep it to a minimum, and that would mean don't say it to me. I'm your boss.
Have you been able to document any loss of business as the result of this woman saying praise Jesus in front of you?
I have enough of these Muslims looking at me with a funny look that I know what's going on.
Any Jewish folks?
And the Jewish folks, too, give me the funny look after she said this praise Jesus.
Well, it turned ugly because she took a hairpiece, threw it into the parking lot. You pulled the metal fish off the back of her car.
It was very ugly, but that's why I'm suing her.
And she's gone to the California Labor Board. All right, hold on. What do you think of that? So she asked for a raise. He gave her the raise. She said, thank you. You know, I prayed on it to Jesus. And apparently she said it in front of customers. And he lost his temper and said, you ungrateful cow. She pulled a hairpiece off of his head, threw it out into the parking lot. He went out to get it and pulled the metal fish off the back of her car. And now they got themselves a problem. A very serious problem. Should you be allowed to, I don't know how you say it, talk Jesus talk at work? Now, you do have the right to any religion, but while you're in a private business, do you have the right to talk Jesus talk? This guy is suing that and saying, no, you do not. You must keep it to the business at hand. And in her laying out this Jesus talk, it ruined his business. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Robert Green is with me. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. This is an incredible story where you gave a raise to an employee only to fire her within the next few minutes because she said she had prayed to Jesus about the raise. Then you called her an ungrateful cow. Then she pulled a hairpiece off your head. You went out to her car, pulled off the metal symbol. Did you put that down the crotch of your pants?
I'm sorry, sir.
Did you take that metal Jesus fish off the back of her car, put it down the crotch of your pants, and then give it back to her?
Yes, I did. And I can tell you why.
Doesn't that seem juvenile?
In retrospect, yes, it does seem juvenile. But I can tell you why. First of all, she humiliated me in public. She started it by saying, I prayed to Jesus on it. When you got Arab women, Jewish women, you got these Chinese that come into my store, and she's talking about Jesus this and Jesus that. I got customers that I've got a service, and the minute an Arab hears this Jesus talk, they will drop all of the Armenian coffee, all of the grape leaves, everything, and run. And the same thing with a lot of the Asians. I don't want it in my store. And Mr. Henry, I admit that taking that and doing what I did was immature, but she took my hairpiece and threw it out in the parking lot. And if she hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been out in the parking lot.
This sounds childish, you know that.
Perhaps it does, sir, but it is also a business owner's right to employ who he wants to employ.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Nina, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes.
I just want to say that, sir...
I mean, she started it.
I understand.
Okay,
go ahead.
Where at in California are you, may I ask?
What's that, dear?
Where at in California?
I'm in a town called Buena Park.
Okay, I know where that is. I was born in Bakersfield. There's a lot of ethnic people out there, different... But
well, ma'am, that's exactly what I'm saying. And I got a lot of these Chinese that come in, and she's saying, praise Jesus. Now, if you know, the Chinese, they go for Buddha, I think. And so...
Okay, but you know the Chinese people do look like that. The Arab people wear their headdresses. So wouldn't that offend a Christian?
No, that Christian doesn't have to come into my store. Anybody that comes into my store... They get to do what they get to do. But the minute they start talking religion...
Well, what are you saying that the headdress is not religious?
That's right. There's nothing religious about it.
And two, you said that it offended you and your customers that she said she prayed to Jesus. Couldn't you just took that with a grain of salt and let it go?
Every time...
And you felt like that Jesus had given you the raise instead of her, yourself.
Well, I mean, she's given all the credit to Jesus. What about me? See, that's the whole point.
Juvenile, big damn deal.
Okay, then you won't mind Jesus not getting the credit if it's so juvenile. And in fact, I'm the guy that gave the raise.
All right, what's the bigger point here? The fact that she was...
She starts in with the Jesus talk, and it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. I'm trying to run a business. This is not the downtown mission. And the minute I prayed on Jesus to it, Mr. Green, and...
Isn't that a horrible thing to do to a woman, though, that you just gave a raise to call her an ungrateful cow... In front of all these people?
She did it to me. She did it
Can
to
I
me.
Can I say something?
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
If she's Bible thumping in my store, it affects my business.
Now let the lady finish. Go ahead, ma'am.
I don't know what to say. I'm ticked off now.
Oh, so all the other employees think that Jesus gave the raise, and I'm out to lunch. I'm just
okay, did you see Jesus there? Did you see him? He
ma'am,
didn't give her the raise. Let the woman think that.
Ma'am, I'm running a business. When somebody comes in Bible thumping, all the Arabs, all of these Chinese, they run, man. These people go wild when you start talking that stuff.
Well, wait a minute.
She just said
I
that
prayed
she,
on it, yeah.
She prayed to Jesus and that Jesus gave her the raise. She didn't say John 3:16. She didn't shout hallelujah or anything like that.
Well, she's still
she
talking
praise
about
God.
She's talking about a deity. And so, see, what happens is this. She says, Jesus gave me the raise. So I'll say, oh, yeah? You think so, huh? You're fired. Now what does she think about Jesus?
Well, okay. I'm having a hard time here. Are you personally offended that Jesus got the credit? Or
both,
I think.
Are you personally offended that Jesus got the credit?
No, it's both. It's both.
It's both that she gave him credit and that you asked her not to do the Bible thumping.
Yeah, exactly. And look, again, I'm in a very ethnic neighborhood. Now, I have a lady who is a Muslim, who is a woman that has shopped in my store for years, and she does something that a lot of the Arabs do, and I don't believe in it, but they call it giving you the evil eye, and I don't know if you've heard about it. She gives me the evil eye when she hears this Jesus talk.
You know something? If I were you, I would tell her to go shop someplace else. Since when all of a sudden the Muslims give an evil eye around here? You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Oh, you're one of these guys, huh?
What guy?
Well, you know, what do they call a bigot?
I'm not a bigot. I'm not a bigot.
Well, then why are you saying tell the Muslim to go? She can do all the Bible stuff she wants on Sunday in her church. She can bang on that organ. She can roll around in the dirt with the snakes. She can say praise
Did
Jesus.
Did you have a bad experience with a Christian or with a church? Is that what you're doing?
I don't want to go into it, ma'am.
Did you have a bad experience? Because this is what we're talking about.
I was an assistant pastor at a traveling tent show in the Southeast back in the 1970s.
Like snake oil?
No, it wasn't that bad, but we had a guy who... He did a lot of this stuff, and that was fine with me because we made a very good living, and I began...
And they lied, and they took their money, and they went out of town.
No, that wasn't
blah,
the
blah,
best.
Blah.
I had a relationship with a young lady who was one of the musicians in the choir. She played I think she was a tambourine.
But...
And the next thing I know, I walked into the trailer one night, and you can...
What, the pastor was with her?
That's right.
Did you have a personal experience in your heart with Jesus Christ? And I'm not peddling
Jesus
Christ.
I just got done telling you. I walk into my trailer, and my girlfriend's legs are up in the air, and there's Jesus in between them. So
Wait a minute. This was the pastor that you're talking about.
Well, what's the difference? This is the guy...
No, this is a human being. This is an idiot. This is an idiot in a tent.
And you knew he was a charlatan.
No,
if you were running with a snake oil tent...
We made a nice living.
You made a nice living, huh?
Look, you get a lot of these
hicks. The people.
You get a lot of these hicks. They don't. They lay their money on you. You tell them that they've got a boil on their ass or whatever, and you cure it. They give you money, and off you go to the next town.
Mm-hmm. How did you go from
you
doing that?
You give me X amount of money, and you're going to get money in the mail
right
for now the rest of your life, and that's charlatans. Snake oil.
All right, Phil, listen, thanks a lot, Nina. How'd you go from that to running a grocery store?
I just drifted from town to town. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I took a job bagging groceries over at Vons, and I began to learn the trade a little bit. And the next thing you know, I liked it. I like groceries. I like eating. Who doesn't like eating? And that food is something I could get lost in and forget the pain. The pain of seeing my girlfriend and the pastor together at a hot summer night in Alabama in that trailer.
So now you're managing a grocery store.
Yeah, and if you think that's funny, Mr. Henry...
I don't think it's funny. I think it's sad that a woman got fired because she said, "I prayed on it to Jesus," after you gave her a raise.
That's what she gets for pissing off the Arabs in my store.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This guy fired an employee because she said, "Praise Jesus." She's not allowed to do that in the grocery store.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The sequence of events, Mr. Green, is what bothers me. Your employee wanted a raise. You said you've got the raise. She said thank you because I prayed to Jesus. You didn't like her thanking Jesus in front of customers who are Muslim and Jewish.
That's correct.
So you fired her on the spot, calling her an ungrateful cow. She ripped a hairpiece from the top of your head and threw it into the parking lot. You went out to get it, pulled a Jesus fish off the back of her car, and you state, put it down the crotch of your pants, and then gave it back to her. And at that point, she then physically assaulted you. Is that correct?
She didn't just physically assault me, Mr. Hendry. She grabbed me, she headlocked me, and began to beat my head into the asphalt, which is the parking lot there. Now, I am 5'4". I'm not a very tall man. And this woman, I wish I could...
Well, what do you want to say?
Can I say what I want to say?
Go ahead.
She was a big, fat cow who took advantage of me physically. I suffered a concussion after she pounded my head repeatedly into the asphalt.
1-800-449-8686. Noel, hi.
Mr. Bigot, I'm sorry, Mr. Green.
Yes,
your story keeps getting better and better. But my point is about your, right to fire people. I don't know exactly what the law is in California, but in most states you don't have a right. And in no state do you have a right to fire somebody for their freedom, for their religion. That's constitutionally protected.
I didn't fire her because she's a Christian. I fired her because she's out there Bible thumping in front of my customers who were offended by it.
No, you're not the only person who's offended by it.
No, I got Arabs, I got Muslims, and I got Jewish customers that don't want to hear all that Jesus stuff. And since you think my story's getting better when a woman physically assaults me and gives me a concussion, then I wonder what your motives are, ma'am, if you don't mind me saying.
My motives? I'm sorry, I don't understand that. But
well, you think my story is really great after I get a concussion. I just wonder why you think that. Are you one of these Christians, or...
Am I one of these Christians, one of these bigots, like you've been accusing everyone on the show? Yes, I am of the Christian religion, but I'm not the bigot. I have lots of Jewish friends and lots of Arab friends, and I have never had a single Arab or Jewish person offended by me speaking about my religion in a
collar fashion. I bet you bore the hell out of them, though, when you start going on about Jesus. What are you trying to convert? You can't convert an Arab. They're not going to be convertible or converted.
However, I do have Jewish and Arabic friends be highly offended by being referred to as Arab and these Chinese people who I think, practice Buddhism. Your behavior is much more offensive to your customers than your employees.
Oh, behavior. Every day with you, blah, blah, Jesus this and Jesus that, and you're boring all the so the Islams, and you bore all the Jews and the Buddhas, and they don't want to hear it. Now, I can tell you, ma'am, I'm the boss. What I say goes. When I say she's fired, she's fired. She doesn't have any right to beat my head into the asphalt.
No, you don't have the right to do
that. She does not have a right to beat her head in the asphalt. If she did that, then even if that was wrong. However, you also do not have a right to violate her freedom of speech rights by removing her fish from the tag, or do you have a right to stick that down your pants. That's the most juvenile, childish gesture I've ever heard of a CEO of any company.
Oh, why don't you go back to Noah's Ark and, load up some more,
Mr. Bigot.
What are you talking about, Mr. Green? I have to say, with all due respect, sir, you're sounding dumber and dumber.
Look, I was out shopping, and I was at one of these Chinese stores, and I hear some cow yelling about Jesus. If I'm that person, I'm buying my rice someplace else.
You're buying your rice.
The only time I would go to another store because of someone's cultural intolerance. If I heard the manager or an official in the store calling me Ahab or an Arab,
I didn't say Ahab. I didn't say Ahab.
And okay, you said an Arab.
I'm a Chinaman, and I go into a store, and I'm a Buddha, and I hear some woman going on about Jesus this and Jesus that. I'm buying my noodles and my rice somewhere else.
All right.
I respectfully disagree with you, sir, because I think that most people are much more tolerant than you. And most people understand that there are a lot of different people with different opinions and different cultural beliefs.
I agree with you, Noel. I have to move on. Thank you. I agree with you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Jackie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just wanted to make a comment to the gentleman.
Yes, ma'am.
Who is not really being a gentleman at the moment.
I'm not a gentleman. That lady, she's calling me all kinds of names.
I think I'm talking, sir, so if you would kindly shut the heck up, I would appreciate it.
Insulting me?
Anyway, the reason I called was to let this gentleman know, and I use that loosely, that for one thing, if I walked into a store and I was buying rice as a China woman, and I heard somebody talking about Jesus Christ, I would not turn around and start buying rice somewhere else. If you want to think that way and they want to come over here and live in our culture, they don't really have a whole lot to say. Go somewhere.
Man, this happens to be America where everybody's equal.
People
can be any religion they want, but they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to Bible thump.
You are welcome to leave.
I didn't say you can't be a Christian.
You don't have to stay at my store.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't say she could be a Christian.
There are other people that will come in to my store that will take her place.
I got a lot of these Chinamen that do a lot of business, okay? And I'm not going to lose their business because you Christians want to come in and Bible thump. Now, what am I supposed to do when I got an Islam and this guy comes in? I got good Islam food, and they don't eat no pork. That's number one.
Well,
I don't carry pork. No Jews, no Arabs. They don't eat it.
You think of your money right now. All you are is about money. You were never a preacher. You were never a preacher. You were a snake. Unfortunately, it's people like you that ruins Christianity.
Calling
it's
people names.
Like you.
I went into the Christian faith.
You were a snake.
I went into the Christian faith.
What do you mean, calling people names? And you're calling somebody a fat cow who has to whoop your butt because you're too wimpy?
How come she's telling us? About Jesus.
Let me tell you something. You need to start being able to back up. Apparently, you're some little wimp, and I probably could take you.
Maybe. And I never said that you couldn't.
And
I bet you
sound like, the kind of man that goes on the Richard Springer show. It says my wife's been
the Richard Springer show.
Yeah.
I bet you're one of those big dykes that beats up on little guys. I bet you that's what you are, right?
You're
a big dyke. And,
okay,
come on,
ladies
baby.
And gentlemen.
You sound like you could. You sound like you could shed a few pounds off your neck.
People like you that really tick me off.
Tick you off?
You know
what?
Can sit there and you can worry about your mighty dollar, but let me tell you something.
Get a load of the Jesus
worry about
yelling at me. Would you calm down, Grandma?
You can worry about yourself.
I'm worrying about
my
soul.
Worry
like
about.
You care about my soul.
You know what?
Like
people
you care
like
about
me
soul.
Are going to heaven.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
You know what?
The Padre
people like me are going to heaven.
In the name of the Father,
your soul.
The Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're going to be going to heaven, and you're going to leave a whole lot of bored people behind
you.
You
are so sad.
Into your freaking Jesus talk.
You are so sad.
So what are you doing when a Chinaman walks up to you and says, I want to hear that?
You're a sad little man. What are you?
Ladies and gentlemen.
The big mouth sounds just like the joke I fired.
What are you, about 5'2"?
Hey, listen, cow.
Okay, I don't want any more cow talk.
Is this the John Show?
Don't.
Hey, lady, every time you open up your mouth talking Jesus and another Chinaman leaves my business, who pays for that?
But you know what, sir? It's right now you're
who
making the money, but in the end, you're
leaves,
not.
When a Chinaman leaves my store...
Am I going to get a word in edgewise? Can I get a word in edgewise here?
You've been doing nothing but talking.
Can I get a word in edgewise here?
For the last 20 minutes. So I'm sorry that...
Okay, look, I gotta go.
So you're hanging up on me. What are you? What are those Chinamen?
What? I'm not a Chinaman. And it's Chinese or Asian American is the more appropriate term, not Chinaman.
Oh, well, excuse me, Phil Donahue. I'm sorry. I gotta go make money.
Yeah, go ahead, go make money. Go rip off somebody else. Robert Greene, who fired a woman for saying, praise Jesus, I got myself a raise. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The character voices of Don Parsley and Bob Greene today were performed by me, and the people that called were actual human beings who were unprompted and unpaid, thinking those guys were real, and that's The Phil Hendry Show, world famous, now in its 13th year. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our souvenir shop on our website. If you'd like to pick up Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mugs, pouch jackets, hats, and the new Citizens Auxiliary Police Watch. With all of this gear, you can look like a real official wannabe cop. Just go to our website and go to the souvenir shop. We also have Phil Hendry Show gear with just my face on it. We got a coffee and latte mug. We've got the Phil Hendry t-shirt, Phil Hendry hats, Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, barbecue apron. Oh, I got to wear mine tomorrow for the big barbecue. Did I get one? Or do I got to pay for my own crap? All right, I got to wear my barbecue apron tomorrow. And we're also, we got our shot glasses, Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses, Phil Hendry shot glasses. Go to the souvenir shop, man. You should not have to shop anywhere else for the Phil Hendry fan in your family. U.S. military apologizes to Shiite Muslims. Apparently, the United States Huey helicopter, a Black Hawk, I should say, blew down by mistake an Islamic banner. The wind that was generated from the blades of the chopper blew down a banner. And we apologized to them. There was a rocket-propelled grenade that was fired at our soldiers on Wednesday, and so we fired into a crowd of about 3,000 demonstrators in this Shiite Muslim slum. The United States military apologized, and most of the residents have accepted the apology, saying, you know, we haven't forgotten it was the U.S. soldiers who liberated us from Saddam Hussein. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this story up is that there is a real difference between the people in Iraq who support our presence and the people in Iraq who don't like our presence. And the difference is money. The poor people like us there because they didn't have jack crap under Saddam Hussein and it wasn't likely to get any better. You know who doesn't want us there? All the rich jackasses, all of the people who are members of the Ba'ath Party, all of the inner circle, all of Saddam's extended family and his clan, all of the people that had dough, all the people that owned the restaurants there in the upper-scale parts of Baghdad, whatever the hell that represents. What does that look like, the upscale neighborhood in Baghdad? What's it look like, Gary, Indiana? Excuse me for those of you who live in Gary, but I'm sure you understand. Saddam Hussein's family, they came to bury the two Hussein brothers, the two guys that all were all bloated and blown to bits, they came to bury them, and they're all bummed out and death to America. You bet death to America, because while we're there, you guys are going to be out there pushing cigarette butts and pencils in a tin cup. Yeah, you're out of a gig. I don't blame them for hating our guts, because they're out of a job, Jack. Just be thankful you're not in a jail cell. Yeah, yeah. And the guy that writes the email, we're over there crapping in their neighborhoods. We're over there crapping in the rich people's neighborhoods. So maybe that's something for all of our anti-Iraq war friends to think about, Farrell and the rest of these guys. The people over there that like us there are traditionally the people that you say you support. Let me say that again. You wouldn't know a poor man if he deep-throated you. There you go. You know, I mean, it's nuts. I think that this minor incident and misunderstanding is over now. Most of the people are accepting the apology. We will not forget that it was the U.S. soldiers who liberated us from Saddam, said Abid Ali, an auto repair shop owner. And the army said it was not directed against the people, and we're very sorry. I mean, what more do you want? And so some of the more reasonable people are saying, we get it, it's cool, no problem. Now, on to weather news. This is just kind of our little news wrap-up. Gorgeous, sexy, beautiful. Many young women are all these things, but a fashion trend that has them wearing these words on their butts and bottoms is raising some eyebrows. Have you seen the jeans that a lot of chicks wear that say gorgeous, sexy, and beautiful across the rear end? Which is, I suppose, is okay. But the other day, my kids were out in a mall, and some disgusting old hag of 50 had on some hip huggers with the word juicy written right across her ugly, frightening ass. And my kids are looking at that. I mean, here's this woman with her ass hanging to the floor, and my daughter and my young son. Hey, how soon should we be sexualizing kids? How about right out of the cradle? Is that all right with all of you? You worry about child pornography. Why the hell do you think it's happening? We can't wait to get these kids into a sex life. We can't wait, man. I got nothing against anybody that's 18 and over. I'm just talking about kids, for crying out loud. Can't they be kids? So there's some old, dirty old hag who probably thinks she's just a fashion plate. You know, I bet you she comes out of some town like San Marino and parked her convertible Mercedes, and she's got on the spike heels, and she's 55 going on 18. In other words, she looks just like Bobby Dooley. She's probably got juicy written across her adult diaper, too. And, you know, and she just thinks she's sad. She just got her belly button pierced. Okay? And she works out at the gym, and she's got a little defiance in her because she's got the gray hair kind of streaked through the dark hair, and she's got juicy written across her ass so that my 10-year-old daughter can see that while she's walking around a mall and my kids can. Listen, you old slut. Why don't you put that on someplace where there's going to be adults? You know, who cares about the other stuff? Juicy? Hey, Phil, you really sound like a tight ass. What, all of a sudden you're protecting kids so that kids don't have to get a sex life at the age of 6 months, and I'm a tight ass? What has happened to this country? What's wrong with these people? Kids are supposed to see this, is that right? Or, I know, wait a minute, it's my fault that I let my kid walk around in a mall. See, I ain't talking about make a law. All I'm saying is, does anybody out there have... Just because you have money doesn't mean you got taste. You understand that, right? Just because you got dough doesn't mean you have taste or tact. In fact, most of the money in America today is what they call nouveau riche. It's new money. People who made a couple of bucks with the .com or whatever the hell, and now they think they got taste. Now they think they got style. They got about as much taste and as much style as freaking Minnie Pearl. You know, they're still wearing clothes with a freaking tag hanging off of it. So they go out and get a Mercedes because everybody else got one. And they go out and they stay at the spa because everybody else does. And they buy the 20,000 or 10,000 square foot house because, and they're all a bunch of hill trash butter hogs that just came into their money from whatever. So she's going out in public with juicy written across her rear end. Next time I see that, I'm going to put a boot right up that fat ass. What do you think of that? I'll kick her rear end right on into the theater. She won't have to pay admission. Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, kids are kids. They ought to be allowed to be kids. And if you want to sexualize a child, you're a pervert. Somebody ought to take you out and beat you with a crowbar. Keep your freaking sex wear on when you're around other adults. And, but Phil, you'd go to jail if you kicked her. Really? Well, that's fine. I've been in jail before. What do I care? What do I give a crap? Some of my best friends are in jail. I don't care. It'd be worth it. You're freaking worth it. Little kid trying to go to the mall and trying to go to a movie theater, and there's this old hag with juicy written across her rear end. You know what they ought to do? They ought to have jeans that say old hag written across their rear end. What do you mean my nickname was Juicy in jail? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.